Time for Money News, and Shane Oliver joins us, Chief Economist with AMP. Well, Shane, a lot to talk about today. Good morning to you, my friend.
Good morning, Luke. Hope you're well.
I hope you're well too. Well, the interim review of the Food and Grocery Code of Conduct, it's been released. Australia's major supermarkets have been put on notice. They could face some really big fines that actually run into the billions if they fail to comply with a revamped and mandatory code of conduct. It's designed to protect farmers and families, and I guess it's supposed to try and protect consumers as well. Shane Oliver, you've read the report. Your thoughts, please. What do you make of it? Is it going to make a difference?
Look, to be honest with you, I think it makes a lot of sense. One option, of course, was to force the big supermarket change to sell some of their stores. But of course, the report found that that could actually lead to a worse outcome because they may not find a buyer for some stores in certain suburbs, which would mean that customers would be put out having to go to the next suburb or scratch around to find a new supermarket, and the workers in those stores would lose their jobs. So I thought that made sense, but it also makes sense to make that code of conduct mandatory. At the moment, it's you could argue it's voluntary, to increase the size of the fines, which they've clearly done. Some of them could be potentially billions of dollars in fines if they're found to be in the wrong. And of course, also make the body which assesses where the wrongdoing has occurred independent of the supermarket. So I think what's in there does make some sense. To be honest with you, I don't think the big supermarkets are the cause of the inflation problem. To look at that, we've got to look at other things, you know, the massive stimulus through the pandemic and the supply disruptions that occurred as a result of it. So I think blaming the supermarkets would be a bit like blaming workers for putting up their wages. But at the end of the day, this sort of thing does make some sense. And of course, I think we do want to make sure that our suppliers to the supermarkets, particularly ordinary farmers, are treated well. And this is one way I think that could help.
Are we, the consumers, going to be protected? Because the term price gouging has been used quite often. It's a very hard thing to prove. What are your thoughts?
Look, I think it is a hard thing to prove. I would like to think that we will be protected. But by the same token, the best protection is competition, such that if you feel you are being ripped off by one supplier, you have lots of others to go to. You know, at present, you can make an argument, well, we're dominated by two suppliers. Of course, there is Aldi and IGA, but they have a much smaller market share. But trying to address this issue is a fairly difficult one, because you could argue also that the two suppliers, they're so big, they do get economies of scale with that size. So that should help prevent price gouging, but it's still no guarantee. But as I said, I think the real problem behind inflation hasn't been price gouging. It has been the reality that we pumped too much money into the economy at a time when supply of things was limited. So guess what happens when that occurs? You get shortages and then prices go up.
Shane Oliver is with us. Shane is the Chief Economist with AMP. He's our finance expert. He's our go-to guy here on the night shift. Shane, let's get back to the cashless world in which we live and the fact that Armaguard, can you believe it, is in trouble. They have rejected a $26 million lifeline to avoid insolvency. They're after about $50 million. Can I just ask you this? How do we get to this? Yes, there's less cash than ever being transported. I get that. But how is it there's only one company that does this job? I mean, if Armaguard falls over, the cash that is needed right around Australia, particularly into regional and rural areas, who's going to carry that? How is it that we got to the stage where there's just one player?
Well, that's a good question. And there was another player. There is another one, a much smaller one, but it has a very, very small market share. There was another large one called Prosecure. Many people would notice you'd see Armaguard trucks around. You'd see the Prosecure trucks, but hopefully I pronounced that correctly. But a year or so ago, it was taken over by Armaguard. And the argument...
Linfox.
Linfox. And the argument was that if this doesn't occur, then one of the businesses will go bust.
Was the ACCC happy for that merger?
Well, it did pass it through. It did allow it at the time. It did go to the ACCC, was my understanding, but it was allowed on the grounds that this is a business and industry that is suffering because we've gone from a situation, and we've talked about this one before, where something like 70% of transactions were all in cash, to now one where only 30% and still collapsing is in cash. And that, of course, was making it harder and harder for the operators to be sustained. So one option is, well, if the two operators merge, then that enables economies of scale and maybe gets their costs down. But that doesn't seem to have worked for too long. And, of course, they're now claiming that they're going to go bust unless they get some assistance. Or basically what they want, I think, is the banks and the big retailers or the retailers generally to pay more for the cash that's being delivered. I've heard this line that there was once a six-lane freeway of money flowing around the country. Now it's like a footpath or something.
That's right. but still someone's got to do it.
Someone's got to do it. You still got to have the truck and you still got to have the security guards. And this is a high-risk job and that costs money. So that's the challenge here. We've all benefited from the shift to a cashless society, or many of us have. It's obviously people like my mother struggle with it.
Yeah.
And I at times kind of like the idea that I can get the cash out of the bank if I want to and don't have to rely.
But you know what really, you know what freaks me out is if there's a mass blackout, a blowout, and none of the FPOS machines or ATMs or anything works. If you haven't got cash, you can't buy anything. Yeah. That's what happened in Lismore. That's what happened in Lismore when they had the floods. Nothing electronically worked, and you had to have cash to survive.
Well, that's why I always keep a bit of cash in case that happens. So I did have this happen. Well, I went to just before Christmas, a couple of years back, was down in one of Sydney shopping centres, the Telstra. Something went wrong with the FPOS. And so certain companies, certain retailers couldn't get their FPOS to work. So my son and I wanted to buy lunch in the subway. We go in there and say, we can't do FPOS. Or credit, you know, if you've got cash, that'll work. And unfortunately, I had some cash, so we were able to buy lunch.
Well, you didn't starve. I know it is a worry. All right, Armaguard, what are they going to do? They've rejected the $26 billion lifeline. What are they going to do now?
Well, I think they're asking for something like $50 billion. Yes. The thing with all of this is I can understand the basic problem, but of course, when there's only one big provider and they've got the bulk of the market, then you don't quite know whether they're pulling one over us or not.
That's right.
That's the thing we don't know. And, of course, the banks and the retailers might be arguing the same thing. Now, of course, Armaguard will say, well, the banks have encouraged everyone to go down this electronic path because it saves them money or they get transaction fees on the back of it. So they've caused the problem. But then you could argue we're all part of the problem. We all went down this path. But at least if there was some competition there, then we and two players were saying the same thing, then we might. Yeah, it might be a bit clearer.
All right. Shane Oliver is with us very quickly. Shane, what did the markets do yesterday? What are we expecting today?
Well, a bit of a better day yesterday. The Aussie market up 16 points. That was after some strong gains on Wall Street. Some payroll numbers or jobs numbers came out on Wall Street. They blew the lights out. Fantastic numbers. Normally, you'd expect that would be seen as bad news. In this environment where we're hoping for rate cuts, but the market celebrated the fact that the US economy is still strong. So US shares went up and then we followed yesterday up 0.2%. Yeah, we're still pretty good level, almost 7,800, but down from that high, which I think was around almost 7,900. Mm. Yeah, pretty much all of the market was up. Biggest mover of the gains in the market was CSL, but consumer shares and energy shares were down a little bit. And the Aussie dollar, not doing a lot at the moment, stuck around just below 66 US cents, but perhaps the most interesting thing at present is gold, which seems to have a rocket underneath it, going to record highs. And many interpret that as a sign that, we are going to get these rate cuts because people don't mind having gold when they're not getting paid much in the way of interest.
Exactly. Shane Oliver, always good to talk to you. We'll talk tomorrow. You have yourself a fantastic Tuesday.
Thanks, Luke. You too.
Yeah, hey, you can bet your bottom dollar on it. You see what I did there?